numbers told the story they always do.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Good Thursday morning to you. It is A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Fubo, Sling, Gate Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's all proudly brought to you by BetMGM Nevada. Gil Alexander, Jeff Parlay. How you doing, Jeffrey? You have a NBA fever?
Oh, yeah.
So we'll get into that momentarily. Bill Krakenberger on the show, hour number two, as is the case each and every Thursday here. We'll talk to Will Hill at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, the host of the New York City Cast. And we'll look forward to talking to him about hockey, about baseball, basketball, the whole gamut, see what he's betting on coming up on the show today. We start with tennis as the French Open at Roland Garros. They really call it Roland Garros, by the way, in France. They don't even call it the French Open, by the way. But as we call here, the French Open, tennis's second major of the year on clay. After three winning days to start the tournament, punctuated by a modest win the first day. It was a 2-1 with a dog winner the second day, so that was good. And then two dog winners on a 2-0 the third day. Yesterday we split, was a wash. We won on our Sebastian Baez plus the games bet against Sasha Zverev yesterday. Was that against Sasha Zverev yesterday? I already forget. Yes. And then we didn't get it done with Richard Gasquet, who didn't get it done, didn't show up. As someone said on Twitter, he's like, Richard Gasquet actually stands for didn't show up in French, actually means that. So we split those. It was a wash. And then today it looks like we're going to have a wash too. We had two plays. Again, if you have the newsletter, you can get these. If you ask me on Twitter, I give them out as well. We had David Goffin, the Belgian, today against Francis Tiafoe. That is a winner in four sets for us. But it looks like it's going to be a wash. Zhao Souza, who was our big dog play, Zhao Souza, not to be confused with Zhao Gilberto, the girl from Ipanema, Jeff, or you thought it was perhaps the grandson of?
The John Phillips Souza, right?
Not related to John Phillips Souza.
I figured yeah. As much.
It appears that he's going to go down, and he's going to go down hard. But you never know. He had four set points in the first set. We had four set points and squandered them all and lost the set. And when you lose that mentally, sometimes you are fried, and it appears as though that's what's happened. So he's already down two sets. He's down a break in the third. So it looks like it'll be a wash today. Again, same thing today going into tomorrow. If you tweet me at night or check the newsletter at vsin.com/newsletter, you will get the tennis picks. The other part about it was our bigger future plays. First of all, everything in the quarters that I recommended, Kecmanovic got through, Daniel freaking Collins coming up later, Teichman's still alive, so if you listen to our quarter bet recommendations last week, all of those still alive. And then, whoa boy, the scares yesterday. Carlos Alcaraz, don't call me Carlos, call me Carlito or call me Charlie, faced a match point and gutted out an unbelievable five-set win against Albert Ramos Vinolas, his Spanish countryman, which included some of the best rallies you'll ever see, some of the best point-making you'll ever see in any match. Alcaraz was unbelievable, but we survived that scare. By the way, he's not the only one who survived a scare. Sasha Zverev, as we pointed out, Sasha Zverev, yes, had a match point, faced a match point against Sebastian Baez, staved it off and won, even though we still won our Sebastian Baez plus the games bet. Diego Schwartzman was taken to five. Stefanos Tsitsipas taken to five, but they all got through. So all of our futures looking good as well. Basketball. Okay, here's the dilly. Can this get any worse, Jeff? What was your comment before the show about even the competitive part? What did you say? I'll let you repeat what you said.
Even the competitive part wasn't a fun watch.
No, it really
wasn't.
That's
a more tame version of what I said.
42-37, Heat at the half. And good Lord, that was when both teams were dreadful. The Heat took it to a hold. They're like, hold my beer in the second half. So the Miami Heat lose the game. Losing it by the score of 93-80, parting like it was 2003 in the NBA with 80 points. Celtics win at 93-80, take a 3-2 lead and rest home court advantage back away from the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. The Heat shot just 31.9% from the field, made only 7 of 45 three-pointers. 7 of 45. Like I said, they had a 42-37 halftime edge. But the Celtics doubled the Heat's point total in the third quarter, 32-16, led by as many as 23. Oh, another one of those games. God, has the NBA Conference Finals been bad. Jaylen Brown, 25 points, led all scorers. Jason Tatum, 22, 12, and 9. Just missed a triple-double. Heat guards Kyle Lowry and Max Strus missed all 15 of their shots. 0 for 15. And Jimmy Butler was 4 of 18. Oladipo, 1 of 7. Is that good? I'm curious. Because I'm told that's not good. Remember how bad the Heat were in Game 4? How bad their offense was? People make fun of them. They scored fewer points in Game 5. So there's that. They shot 32% after shooting 33% in Boston's 20-point win in Game 4. And again, the Heat's starting backcourt has made a combined one basket in the last two games. That's impossible. Jeff, if you got out there and you randomly were on an NBA court, imagine if there were four teammates, four pro athletes with you, and the Parles is out there with them, and they throw you the ball, and you just terrified, just throw one up. You could get lucky and make one.
I don't know about that, but I mean, the fact that, and this kind of more, Gil, we mentioned this earlier in the postseason, Kyle Lowry, if he's not 100%, should not be out
there. He should not be on the court.
Should not be out there, period.
And Jimmy Butler probably shouldn't be out there. He has to be, right? But, like, I don't think Lowry's right. I don't think Butler's right. And those are the guys that are out there, right? Tyler Hero's not even on the court. So, in the end, the Heat probably end up losing. Is there any scenario where you see the Heat winning one game, let alone two? Asking them to win two in a row would be quite the feat, it would seem.
It's a lot to ask with everyone so banged up.
He's starting backcourt, one basket last two games. 1 for 28 is the exact number on that. That's 3.6%. I did the math for you. From the arc, by the way, it was a three-pointer. They're 1 from 19 from behind the arc, the guards, 5.3%. They shot 17%. The Heat as a team shot 17% in the third quarter. There was a stretch where they made one basket in 12 minutes of basketball. Like a quarter length of basketball, they made one bucket. Lowry and Butler, shells of themselves. Tyler Hero, groin injury, out again. Massive momentum swings again in this series. 44-14 Miami run in game one. 60-21 Boston run in game two. 46-20 Miami run to open game three. 57-33 Boston run in the same game. And a 26-4 run by the Celtics to open game four. Then yesterday, over a 6.5-minute stretch of the second half, Celtics 24, Heat 2, turning a 59-58 Boston lead to an 83-60 Boston lead. Good Lord. There's a 14-2 spurt to start the fourth quarter as well. Boy, and Boston stunk in the first half, right? Tatum was 1 for 9. They trailed by 5, 42-37. Anyway, can we just get to the finals? And the Warriors and the Celtics. Can we just make this happen? Warriors go for the gentleman's sweep tonight. By the way, before last night's game, the Celtics, the Heat had gotten to plus 170 adjusted series price. And the Celtics had gotten to as much as a 4-point favorite in that game. It's like people knew the final score. Made no sense. And I even said on primetime, I was like, if the Celtics win by 20, it still makes no sense. And the Celtics almost won by 20, as it turned out at one point. Celtics favored by 9 in game 6. 9. You want to take those 9?
I don't know what I want to do with
9.
I have no idea.
9.
It's a lot of points.
What's happening? But the way the Heat are playing and the way they appear to be banged up, I kind of get it. But, like, here's the thing we used to say about the NHL playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs. Everybody likes to say in mainstream media, and other people who are not betting focused first, I think. They're like, oh, the Stanley Cup playoffs are so much better than the NBA playoffs, right? From an entertainment standpoint, I get it. But from a betting standpoint, we used to say, well, you can have your Stanley Cup playoffs, because even though they might be more entertaining, it's still not bettable because it's so random. Well, now the NBA, at least in these conference finals, now you can't even say it's more bettable. You can't bet these with any consistency, these NBA games, East or West.
Not pre-flop.
Not even, like, in-game at this point. These streaks, like, it's not like they're coming back from these spurts in these games.
No, at least not these series. Well, you could have had Boston at any sort of in-game numbers in Game 3. That was really.
I mean,
the
listen.
Last
there's
one,
a
yeah.
there's a moment yeah. in everyone, but for you to be able to time this consistently, game after game, is it's an impossibility. You might have gotten fortunate and think it's you bet, but it's not a betting vehicle at this point. What about tonight? Warriors, gentlemen sweep. You touching that preflop? Nothing.
No, nothing.
Nothing at all. Okay, we have to look at. Give me NBA Finals MVP real quick. What do you have for NBA Finals MVP? Steph is the short shot.
Curry's plus 125. Tatum's plus 220. Jaylen Brown's 8-1. Klay's 12-1. Draymond's 14-1. Marcus Smart, Jordan Poole, Jimmy Butler somehow still 25-1. Forget that. And then anyone else who could be playing in that series, Wiggins at 50-1 and Horford at 80-1. Everyone else is north of 200-1.
All right, we're in agreement that if you have to take a Celtic or a Warrior, that is not one of the short shots, right? Do you take a flyer on a Wiggins at 50-1? What's Clay and what's Poole again?
I think I'd rather have Clay at 12-1, even though he's been dreadful this postseason.
Because it's the best story.
It's the narrative.
What's Poole?
25.
I might take some Jordan Poole. 25-1? And where's Jaylen Brown there?
Jaylen Brown's the third favorite at 8-1.
8-1. Okay, one of those. One of those might be bettable. We don't have those here in Nevada, but if you have in a jurisdiction, I think long shot NBA final MVP might be a good wager right now. Just take a flyer on that. By the way, we still can bet on NBA conference final MVP, and I actually think there is a bet to make right now on one of these players. Or, as always the question with awards, does the fact that human beings are involved voting on it pollute it so badly that even logic won't win the day? We'll talk about that on the other side, right here in the Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It is time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander, Jeff Parlay is here as well. You can catch Jeff on the weekend doing a show called Bet Center. And he goes by the name of Jeff Parles. The time again for Bet Center, Jeff?
Point spread Saturday this week. Again, the nice 8 a.m. Eastern on Saturday for me.
Point spread Saturday this
yes,
week.
Yes. And then nothing next week because you'll have Ben Wilson in this journey.
Ben Wilson?
Yes.
You're going to see,
I'm going to see family next week. Yes.
Weddings?
And wedding, yes. We got a, we're at that age, Gil. We're at that age.
You are at the late 20s
where a lot of my fiance and I's friends are getting married now. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of those this summer.
Well, we'll enjoy all of that. We'll miss you next week. Ben Wilson, fine voice. Ben Wilson, who will be the most famous person to ever go out of VSiN when all is said and done. Maybe you parlay as well. Ben Wilson.
It's going to take a lot for him to catch Brent. But by the way, happy birthday to Brent.
Happy birthday, Brent Musburger.
Yes.
Well, we knew Brent before VSiN is the thing. Yes. Happy birthday to Brent Musburger. Congratulations to him on all the Raiders success. He's going to do it again this year, I would imagine. Okay. So did you happen to see Real Sports with Brian Gumbel?
I didn't know.
Bryant Gumbel in Real Sports, which is obviously a serious sports journalism program. They had on firsthand accounts from a couple of the 22 women who have alleged, who are in these lawsuits against Deshaun Watson. And again, we always look for all this stuff from a betting angle. So for those who are, going to listen or landing on the show for the first time, are like, I can't believe you're talking about betting implications from this very serious thing. Please understand the context from which we are coming. But HBO's Real Sports with Bryant Gumbel, 22 civil lawsuits from women who have accused Deshaun Watson of inappropriate sexual conduct during massage sessions. Two grand juries, by the way, in Texas have declined to pursue criminal charges. Watson has denied all wrongdoing, has admitted to sexual activity with a couple, though. But they have they had two young ladies on there. And I got to tell you, I've heard from journalists that, well, you know, nothing new was revealed on this show. Nothing new was added to what we already knew the allegations were. But I got to tell you, if you watch it and you listen to the girls or the young ladies telling their stories, it ain't the same, man. It ain't the same at all. And it is powerful, and it is, I cannot imagine, let's put it this way again, circling it back to us. I cannot imagine Roger Goodell or anyone in that NFL office watching that show and being like, yeah, we're good. Slap on the wrist. Especially given the NFL's history, messing up the Josh Brown situation, completely botching the Ray Rice domestic violence situation, bending over backwards to punish Ezekiel Elliott for something that probably wasn't nearly as cut and dry as the NFL was trying to make it out to be, because it was sort of them protecting themselves from their previous errors in adjudicating stuff, talking about the National Football League. But it's one thing to read thing in print, see something in black and white allegations, but then when you hear those young ladies saying it and tears flowing, yeah. I can't imagine a lot of people have been trying to downplay the suspension that the NFL office is going to give to Deshaun Watson. I can't imagine that anymore. Remember when I wasn't the only one, but when the Trevor Bauer thing happened, when the latest Trevor Bauer matter, where Major League Baseball added a two-year suspension to Trevor Bauer's situation in Major League Baseball and his domestic matter, using the word matter as an umbrella. And I made the suggestion, well, the NFL can't possibly look at that and not feel some kind of pressure. Now, some people don't agree with that. But the combination of that, now you see the firsthand accounts. I remember there's some, I think we had Eric Eager on from Pro Football Focus, Dr. Eric Eager, who we love, and he was like, yeah, I think maybe that will push it up. The Trevor Bauer thing might push it up to 6 weeks. That's it? I can't imagine it being small. Now, as Warren Sharp, our other friend, points out, what the NFL schedule makers have done is really made the Cleveland Browns schedule super soft at the beginning. So Cleveland's at Carolina. They're hosting the Jets. Sorry, Jeff. Hosting the Steelers at the Falcons to start the year. You can't possibly concoct an easier four-game stretch. So it's almost as if they've built in a four-game suspension minimum to start things out. They're like, all right, Cleveland, this is going to happen, but we'll give you four easy games. Jeff, I'm guessing now, for those people who are looking to make bets on the Cleveland Browns, and if you believe in your bet making that the conviction on your bets is that Deshaun Watson is going to be there sooner or later, my reaction from that HBO show was, it's later. There's no way they can see this. Now, if they do watch this and then somehow get a slap on the wrist of Deshaun Watson, whew, I don't want to say shame on them, but I'm saying it in my head, if you know what I mean. All right. We promised about the conference finals in the NBA. I think there's a bet to be made here. There's no like real appropriate segue from that. No artful way to segue from that. So the Western Conference Finals MVP trophy, the Irvin Magic Johnson Trophy, there's not much to talk about there. Steph Curry's minus 1,000. Actually, there is something to talk about. Luka's 14-1. If Andrew Wiggins had one more Andrew Wiggins game, you recall he's already had one, could Andrew Wiggins win the Western Conference Finals MVP?
Probably not. I don't think the narrative is going to be...
Because human beings are voting?
Again, we're human beings voting on this. It's still going to be Steph. Unless if it's a scenario where, God forbid, Steph gets hurt tonight and only plays a quarter.
Oh, don't say that out loud.
No, I know. I'm just saying, like, it would be a scenario we don't want to see would be the way that a non-Steph Curry player would
I'm just
win.
Saying, because there's already been a Andrew Wiggins game, if he had a second one, would a 20-1 flyer make any sense? Maybe. He's the only
Benettini. Yeah.
And by the way, for those talking about Luka, again, 0-146 teams to come back to win a series. You're not going to win it if you're not on the winning team. Now, the Eastern Conference, this is a bet, I think. So last night on Primetime Action, we looked at the Eastern Conference Finals MVP, the Larry Joe Bird Finals MVP trophy. Joe, spelled J-O. Jason Tatum was minus number, was in the minus numbers. He was a favorite. And Jaylen Brown was 7-1 before last night's game. 7-1. And Kelly Bidlin, who Matt Brown and I work with every night, Kelly Bidlin did a deep dive on the stats and did a blind resume. And he's like, how could you not, like, 7-1 on Jaylen Brown? How could you not bet this? And it made sense at that number, because Jaylen Brown was not anywhere close to what Jason Tatum and Jimmy Butler were, that the 7-1 made sense. Now, this is obviously flipped after last night. The Heat, behind the eight ball, doesn't look like they're going to win this the way they're playing. It looks like Butler's banged up. Jimmy's gone to 11-1. So now it's Jason Tatum at minus 165 and Jaylen Brown at plus 150. And, you know, it's very too cool for school. We always like, oh, well, you could have gotten him at 7-1 yesterday, so I wouldn't bet him at plus 150 now, right? That would be, like, something that people would say. Here are the stats. Jason Tatum minus 165, Jaylen Brown plus 150. Just view this as a baseball line, right? Let's say there was a baseball game where a team was minus 165 and the dog was plus 150. Here are the stats right now in this series through five games. Jason Tatum's field goal percentage in this series, 429. Jaylen Brown's, 556. Jason Tatum's three-point field goal percentage, 270. Jaylen Brown's, 500. Points per game. Jason Tatum, 23.8. Jaylen Brown, 23.2. Rebounds, 7.8 for Tatum, 7.2 for Brown. And then Jason Tatum does have him on assists, 5.8 to 2.8. Would you take a flyer on plus 150, or is that not good enough? People are just going to look at points, rebounds, and assists, and they're going to be like, it's Jason Tatum, despite all the turnovers.
Yeah, but if you watch this series, I think Brown's been the better player.
I do too.
So I would like a little more, but at this point, I don't have a problem with plus 150. Really don't.
Jason Tatum, 24 turnovers in this series. Jaylen Brown, 14. Jason Tatum is just a turnover machine. You wouldn't take the plus 150 at Jaylen Brown? I would. If only we could bet it here in the state of Nevada. Will Hill on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSiN Summer Special is here. For only $39, you get everything VSiN has to offer from now to the end of July. Next few months going to be filled with the best betting content in the business right here at VSiN.com, and subscribers will have access to all of it, including Adam Burke's daily MLB best bets, Jonathan Von Tobel with best bets all the way through the NBA Finals, Andy McNeil breaking down all the action on the ice all the way through the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have lots of NFL preseason coverage as well, not to mention continued best bets and premium articles covering golf, UFC, USFL, and NASCAR. The full VSiN experience can be yours. Which features a daily best bet email, every edition of Point Spread Weekly, use of our betting tools, and a live video stream whenever you want it. Cost is only $39 to be a subscriber through July 31st. Sign up now at VSiN.com/summer. Jeff, you excited about Colin Kaepernick working out for the Raiders? What's your level of excitement on that? Needle pinning 10 being the ultimate.
When was the last time you played? 5 years now?
It's been a while.
Yeah. I mean, all right. So
it's been a while.
Let's see how it goes.
Do you think it's legit is my question.
You know what? You bring someone into the facility, you're at least serious, somewhat serious about it. So it's a lot more serious than teams that just showed up at the outdoor workout at a random high school.
I wonder.
Yeah, we'll see.
I wonder.
By the way, apparently Big Baby Davis and Larry Sanders may be in a boxing match in August.
Wait, who and who?
Remember Big Baby Davis?
I remember Big Baby.
You're and not... Larry Sanders.
Oh, you mean Gary, the passed away Gary Shandling?
No,
Larry
no, Sanders show? Not the great fake television host. No. The former NBA player.
May he rest in peace, by the way. Yes. By the way, one of the great documentaries of all time was the Gary Shandling one. But go ahead, the Zen of Gary Shandling.
Yes, apparently on August 13th, which will be an undercard event on whatever Jake Paul's ridiculous pay-per-view event is. So there you go.
You interested in seeing Larry Sanders take on Big Baby?
Absolutely not.
Okay, just curious. You betting on Triple G and Canelo? Either am I.
No.
We can't do it.
We said it yesterday.
We talked about yesterday. Can't do it. I vow.
Canelo's now losing two fights in a row, even if Triple G dominates. I mean, Triple G's 40 years old.
40 years old. That's why he's a huge dog, 40. And even if he wins, he's going to lose, if you know what I mean. Will Hill's here, everybody, and not the Will Hill on Twitter, the host of the New York City Cast. How you doing, Will?
What's up, guys? I'm all excited now. Larry Sanders versus Big Baby Davis. I wasn't expecting this. I was just going about my business this morning, and then you drop a bombshell like that. I mean, let's go.
Change your schedule, Will. Yeah. Come on, man. Start making bets. You said you texted me. We were just talking NFL. You have some NFL bets that you like and that you've made.
I do. I have some Week 1 bets. Now, I know it's built into the number already, but I think there's basically no chance Watson plays Week 1. So I did bet Carolina 4.5, 4. I think it's down to 3.5 now. I would still bet it 3.5. I know it's baked into the number, but I also know how the market reacts. Once they see Watson's out for Week 1, people are going to rush up to the counter to bet against Cleveland. So I think that number is going to move under the 3. I think, you know, still getting +3.5 on Carolina's a good bet because I think there's no chance Watson plays. And if Watson doesn't play, it doesn't sound like Baker's back. What, Jacoby Brissett? I just think the 3.5 is a good buy. And I think, you know what, you could buy back on Cleveland on a money line if it gets under 3.5. So that's just a number grab for me. I think that 3.5 is going to move once the Watson news comes out. And I didn't watch the Real Sports documentary. I don't know if it was too salacious, but I did see Josina Anderson tweet like a week or so ago that Trevor Bauer being suspended 2 years. She was talking to somebody in the NFL, and the fact that Trevor Bauer was suspended 2 years is going to affect this because the NFL doesn't want to look like, you know, they are lax when it comes to this stuff. While Major League Baseball gave Bauer 2 years, they don't want to give Watson a slap on the wrist. So I do think Watson's probably looking at a pretty lengthy suspension.
I totally believe that. I can't, the confluence of all of this, the Trevor Bauer thing is one thing, right, which I brought up. But the NFL's history on this, these firsthand accounts now with young ladies who are very credible, right? And, you know, and it's just horrible to watch. And I'm just saying that if you're the NFL, you cannot be soft on this. You can't. Like, there's just too many things going on. Anyway, there's a couple things you said there I want to seize on, which are great. One is, you know how the market reacts. I think it's such a great point you're making, Will. We don't make that point enough, which is, we sometimes do on primetime. I don't think I make it on a numbers game enough, which is, we'll have information. We've seen it in the NFL this past year. It was really weird. Like, we'd know who was kind of banged up and who wasn't. And yet, it took to the weekend, right, and maybe day of game, for people to sort of wake up, the general market, and be like, oh, yeah, so-and-so's out. We've known that for 4 days. Where were you? And it just moves then on information we've already known. So I think you're right about the Deshaun Watson thing. Even though we're having this conversation, you could probably assume, you know what they say about assuming, you can probably predict what's going to happen. You're right. The market won't until the very, you know, last moment in all this. We'll be like, oh, yeah, I guess it will be a suspension of a certain amount of time, and certainly Game 1. So I agree with you on that. The only thing about the Browns-Panthers matchup, though, specifically is it'd be one thing if they don't have Deshaun Watson, but are you getting Sam Darnold? And which team is Baker playing for in this game, I guess, is the other question.
Yeah, it's a great question. Again, it's more of a number grab, and I think it's going to go under the key number of 3.5. So I took the points, and yeah, I totally agree with everything you're saying. I think we see that a lot the final week of the season in the NFL, where a team has nothing to play for, and they built that into the line. Then the team announces that all these starters are going to sit, and then it moves again. It's like
so
you get a double move sometimes.
Yeah,
it's so weird.
Is that the only play you've made in Week 1?
I did bet the Saints -4 against Atlanta. I just think Atlanta's going to be terrible. That's another one where I'm not sure people are fully paying attention. That's just how bad Atlanta's going to be. I mean, they're starting Mariota, I think, at quarterback. It's him or Ridder, so I would assume it's Mariota for at least a week. And look, New Orleans, people assume New Orleans, once Breeze retired and Sean Payton were retired, that, you know, they were in cap hell and they were just going to hit the reset button. They've really gone in the opposite direction. You know, they're trading up to get Olave. They're really kind of retooling. I think they can compete, which is important. Remember, you know, they've done pretty well. They beat up on Green Bay last year. They played well against Tampa. They've done well against the good teams. So maybe they're right to think they can compete. You know, they played pretty well with Winston. So I think that four is a little short here with New Orleans.
I'm fascinated by the fact that you're betting week one lines. I really am. I was wondering, I was like, who's betting these things at this point? Because, you know, Johnny Avella will tell you from DraftKings. Vinny will tell you here. You know, it's not like a massive surge of people to bet this stuff. Do you typically bet week one lines this far in advance, or is this just a new thing for you this year?
I've been doing it more and more the past couple of years. As you always say, if you build it, they will come. If I log into my account and I see something I like, you know what? Mm-hmm. You're going to hang that curveball there. I'm going to swing at it. So you know what? If you build it, they will come.
Well, they would only build some other markets. Yes, here in the certain books in Las Vegas. That's absolutely right. Do you have any season long? I mean, we may have had this conversation before, but let's remind everybody. Do you have any season wins or futures plays in the NFL?
Yeah, I'm kind of going against the wave here. I did take the Chiefs over 10.5. I think the best quarterback usually wins 11, 12 plus games. That's not a very scientific approach, but when you look at Brady with the Patriots, Manning, you know, with the Colts, Rodgers these past couple of years, I mean, if you have the best quarterback, usually you're good for 12, 13 wins. And they do get, I think, the Jags, the Texans. I think they'll probably go like 4-2 in division, you know, 7-4 against everyone else. I think they'll get to 11. I trust Andy Reid. I trust Mahomes. Now, I mean, look, with any of these things, Mahomes misses 6 weeks, I'm dead. But I do think if Mahomes is healthy, I think they retooled the roster pretty well with Sky Moore and Karlaftis. You know, McDuffie fell to them. I think they had a pretty good draft. And I did take Karlaftis 20-1. I don't know if we talked about that. Defensive rookie of the year. I think it's last 3 years the rookie sack leader has won defensive player of the year. And I just think with Frank Clark, with Chris Jones, that team's going to score a lot of points. They're going to have a lot of leads, and he can just kind of pin his ears back and rush the passer. And I could see him getting a bunch of sacks. So I think that's a pretty good number on Karlaftis.
The Chiefs.
I did take under on Giants as well, too. I don't know if you want to touch on that one or the other one.
Well, before we get to the Giants, the Chiefs thing, again, before the bye, I just want to remind everybody, this is the Chiefs schedule before the bye. At Cardinals, home Chargers, at Colts, at Bucks. Home Raiders, home Bills, at Niners. Oh, my God. And then the bye, 3 weeks after the bye, at Chargers, Rams at home, at Bengals, at Broncos. So, I mean,
I can cancel the bet, right? I can cancel that.
Yeah, I don't know if they allow that anymore. And not anymore. Ever. Do they... you should ask, though, Will. See what they say to you. Sir, we can't do that. That's not how this works. If those first seven games, I'll bring Jeff in for this. These first seven games on the Chiefs schedule, if I went up to Andy Reid, let's say we're doing truth serum on Andy Reid, and I said, Andy, you are going to be 4-3 after these seven games. Do you think he takes it?
No.
Yeah, I don't either.
No.
So I think he's minimum. I think he's probably 4-3. So I think 4-3 is probably the low side.
Because even with how difficult this schedule is, Kansas City's still going to be favored in more than half of these games. So maybe they're favored in four of the seven.
I'm going to say one more time, though, what I've said a few times here this summer, which is I think the biggest mainstream media narrative after 1 or 2 weeks of the season, when we look up at our screens and we're watching First Take and we're like, oh, what are they going to kill 15 minutes with, you know, in this segment? It's going to be how much we underestimated an elite wide receiver being on a specific team and going to another. So I think like the Tyreek Hill subtraction to Miami, the Davante Adams subtraction, I think as much as we talk about it now, it's going to manifest in such a way in the first couple weeks that that's all they're going to be talking about.
With Kansas City, though, I really think we're going to know in the first week. Because if they go on the road to Arizona and lose to the Cardinals without DeAndre Hopkins there,
right,
then I think we're going to know, things could be in real trouble, because that's a Thursday night game, week two, at home against the Chargers.
Andy Reid will be like, I'll take that 4-3.
Yeah, if you lose week one to Arizona, absolutely. I don't think they're losing that game, though.
Will, let's talk to you about the Giants bet, whatever football bet you made, and then hockey, basketball, baseball, whatever else you got. Will Hill, everybody, at Not The Will Hill from the New York City Cast, joins us right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Enjoy tennis like never before with BetMGM. There you go, BetMGM. Download the BetMGM app and place a $10 moneyline wager on the tennis tournament in Paris, which apparently we're not to say out loud what it's called. If any player records, if any player records an ace in their match, you'll win $200 in free bets. Just use bonus code VSiN200 when you make your first bet. Sign up now and discover BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com and use bonus code VSiN200 to win $200 in free bets if any player records an ace in their tennis match in Paris. Eligibility restrictions apply. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New customer offer. All promotion subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, or New York. Speaking of tennis, French Open at Roland Garros for the second straight day after three winning days. We have a wash. Still haven't had a losing day, but for the second straight day of wash, we hit on David Goffin earlier, and the other one just went final. João Sousa lost in straight sets. He was our big plus 195 dog play. He squandered four set points in the first set and really couldn't recover from that. And so that happens. It's a mental game as well. That happens, so we lose. By the way, Iga, on the other hand, Will Hill, Iga's double parked outside, apparently, the facility. Six love. She bageled Allison Risk in the first set, so... Oh, well.
You're always bragging about your washes, Gil.
That's right. The trolls on Twitter, always bragging. Always bragging about your washes. That'll be their next thing. That's phenomenal. Oh, man. Will, every time they say, oh, you claim to win, I'll just roll you out and be like, I get him. Will Hill.
I get him.
On the text. On the text every day. All right. What was your Giants? What was your New York Giants play again?
Yeah, I played under seven wins. I don't see this team getting eight. If they get to seven and push, I'll live with it. But I just think this is a reset year. I think that, you know, clear the cap, just kind of undo all the bad Gettleman did. I think there was a lot of dysfunction in this organization. I just think this is a kind of a gap year. I'm not saying they're going to tank, but I think they're more likely to get the number one pick than they are to make the playoffs. I'll put it that way. I just think next year's the big quarterback class. I don't think they really believe in Jones. So I think this team has a lot of issues. I did play under seven wins with the Giants.
All right. Lou Finicaro, Sweet Lou, texts in. He says, Gil, I see it exactly opposite from you with the Chiefs. He says, I think the Tyreek Hill trade will allow the assets for Kansas City to overcome their terrible schedule, as well as all the other attention the other AFC West teams are getting, suit them really well in futures, not over under season wins, but future positions. All right, there's a take on the Kansas City Chiefs. Anything else football? Or are those the two you want to talk about?
I think that's it. Okay. I think we're good on football, yeah.
All right. Stanley Cup playoffs have been phenomenal. Are you playing any hockey?
Here and there. I've been on the Oilers. The Oilers are fun to bet on. They're fun to watch. So I've been betting a little bit. I'm impressed with the Rangers. The Rangers, this is an obscure reference. They remind me a little of the 2017 Yankees, where remember their back was up against the wall every time they played, it seemed like, where, you know, they play the Twins in the wild card round, they fall behind, come back and win, down to nothing against the Indians, down to nothing against the Astros, just constantly playing, you know, catch up with their back up against the wall. I kind of think the Rangers are going to win this in seven. I don't know that these teams are all that different than, you know, the market suggests. So I think the Rangers are right in this series. I think they probably split the next two games. And I have a feeling the Rangers win this in seven.
Todd Wright has been all over the Rangers from the beginning. He has been steadfast, not only pre-flop, but in series, telling people to bet the Rangers. So he's been riding that wave. He also, by the way, still had the Blues before the series. And obviously, Binnington is out for the Blues. But the Blues staving off elimination last night. Was that unbelievable? Down 3-0. And then they score in the 56 seconds left in the game to tie it up, win it in overtime, and the series goes back to St. Louis for game six. People thought it was fait accompli that the Avalanche were on their way.
Yeah, fans are throwing hats onto the ice. Next thing you know, they're going home losers. It's unbelievable.
Hockey, when it ends, it's so final, these games, right? Yeah. When the final goal goes in. All right, NBA. I mean, we talked about this at the beginning of the show. These conference finals have been, forget about from an entertainment standpoint, a disaster, but they're really difficult to bet with any kind of consistency. Do you have anything on the Warriors tonight laying the wood? Are you taking the points with the Mavs? And how about the spread for Game 6 back in Boston, the Celtics and the Heat, the Celtics favored by 9. You don't want those 9 points?
Well, we'll start with Dallas. I think with how close these games have been, you got to take the 7 points. I don't know. I think Dallas, this series is not that far from being 2-2. You know, Dallas, I think, switched a lot more defensively the other night. They held Golden State to only 28 three-point attempts. They held Curry to only five. I think they mixed up their defense. And look, Dallas has had two games in this series where they've made 20-plus threes. So can Dallas be in this game tonight? I did take a little bit of Dallas plus seven. Maybe, you know, we're due for a good game. Is that, boy, 7.5. So I didn't get the best of the number there. Maybe we get a tight game here. I don't have a big bet on it, but I do think Dallas can hang in this game. As far as the game tomorrow, I'm on the under. I just don't think Miami can score. I think they're completely drawing dead.
Me too.
Butler's hurt. No explosiveness. I mean, three of their four best players are hurt. Maybe four of their five best players. I mean, I think Tucker's banged up. Strew's Hero's out. Butler doesn't look like the same player. I think probably the Heat team total under is probably the best way to play it. I don't see how Miami wins this game. And boy, last night that was ugly. Did you see they missed 38 threes? They were over 23 on what they call semi-contested threes. I mean, that's hard to do. I think at some point the league has to look at possibly moving the three-point line back, because these games are just so repetitive. It's just, you know, you're going to shoot 45 threes, I'm going to shoot 45, and whoever makes more is going to win. I mean, 0 for 23 on semi-contested threes. It's just been ugly to watch. And here on the East Coast, these games start 9 o'clock, 9:30 at night. It's been a disaster for the NBA. I do think they'll get a good finals here with the Celtics and the Warriors, but boy, do they need it. It's been a bad playoffs.
Wow. So I agree with you on the starting times. Ridiculous for people who live on the East Coast. For those of us who grew up on the East Coast, I remember it well, man. And it seems like it's getting worse. I did not expect your suggestion to throw the 3-point line back further out. That I did not think was coming. Wow. I mean, I hear what you're saying. There's a lot hoisted up, but I doubt the NBA would ever want to suppress. You know, again, because the 2003 NBA Finals, we were going last night through the scores of those games. Oh my God, was that bad basketball? So the NBA is so spooked by just having games that finish 77-76, right, in NBA Finals. I don't think they'll do anything to suppress scoring, do you? Come on.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not. I haven't heard it seriously being discussed. I just think from an enjoyment of the game standpoint, I think there's a happy medium here where I think twofold with a three-point shot, it's too easy to make despite what we saw last night, and it's just too valuable. And I just think there's no balance in the game. You're just having these teams. It's basically a three-point shooting contest. So I think it's worth thinking about. I don't know. I think these guys can hit them from anywhere now. So I don't know that I would suppress scoring maybe as much as we think. I do think it's something to think about, though.
Yeah. I mean, thank God for being able to bet other things, because, again, I have no play on either of these games. Pre-flop, the Heat, I agree with you. I think they're drawing dead. I wouldn't take 9 points because I don't think Lowry is healthy. I don't think Butler is. Clearly, Hero's out also. And then with the Mavericks, you know, I get it. That's a lot of points. I'm in the tank for the Warriors, so let me just preface everything by saying that. I have Warriors futures. But the only problem about taking the points with the Mavs is the Mavs, whether they hit their threes or not, the Mavs can't stop anything on defense, anything the Warriors do. So it's like, unless they have this out-of-sight three-point game, people are spinning it the other way. Well, this could be a much tighter series. Yeah, it could also be 4-0, right? I mean, like, that could have happened also. So I just think the Warriors are, I don't know. I'm not, let's put it this way. I wouldn't be surprised if the Warriors won by 20 tonight again. Another unwatchable basketball game. There is Major League Baseball, though. We know how much you love baseball. You always have picks. What do you like today?
Yeah, and just quickly back to the NBA. I wonder if the Warriors win tonight, Celtics win tomorrow. If we, you know, with all these bad games, then we have a week off. Is that good for the NBA? It's going to be tough.
A full week?
I think it's next Thursday it starts. I think it's pretty much set in stone. June 1st, I think that's next Thursday.
Jeff Parlay is checking on that. That can't be right. Don't tell me that. That can't be right.
I think so.
All right, just checking on it. So, okay, baseball, because we only have about a minute and a half here. What do you got?
I played under first five, Reds, Cubs. It's Steele versus Green. Steele's numbers are outstanding. I mean, he's 98th percentile missing barrels. We know how good Green stuff is. So I played under 4.5 first five there. And I did play under in the Yankees Rays. Boy, that Yankee lineup without some of these guys, when they're fully healthy, they're still, you know, a little short in the bottom of the lineup. Without Stanton, I just don't see how Judge is going to get anything to hit. So I did play under 7.5 there. Cortez is going against, I believe, Yarbrough. So those are the two for baseball. And I think I have a little bit on Colorado, Marquez versus Corbin, who is just completely washed. I mean, what a run that was in the 2019 World Series, but it's not 2019 anymore.
It's not 2019 for sure with him. If they were doing an MVP for the first quarter of the season, is Aaron Judge the AL MVP?
I think so. And that's a great question. If Judge hits 60 and Ohtani does basically what he did last year, I think you guys were talking about it. Do the voters get tired of what Ohtani does? Are they numb to it?
I think
it'll be a good question.
I think they do. And I'm a guy who's holding Ohtani tickets. I said
too.
That you heard that yesterday. I said it to Jason out loud. Jason seemed triggered by me even suggesting it. So, I don't know. Jeff, you have a word on the NBA Finals? Did you get the
looks like June 2nd. That's next Thursday.
What are we doing? My goodness. What are we going to talk about? Anyway, it's for another day. Thank God for the French Open at Roland Garros. I'm going to go brag about a wash now, Will. For God's sakes.
Appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks.
Thank you, Will. At Not The Will Hill, host of the New York City Cast, wherever podcasts are distributed. In the studio, unscripted with the crack man, Bill Krakenberger, next.